But in this class, these are the answers you have to give in order to pass. So, I mean, they weren't out to have a theological debate. But yeah, it doesn't hurt to stand up for what you believe, and actually that's a good thing. There's no sense getting in an argument with the teacher. You're not going to change his mind or her mind most of the time. But you do need to let them know that I don't agree with this stuff. Yeah, you need to stand up for what you believe and do what's right, but you also realize that, you know, that's part of the education process as far as passing the test, getting the grades, and say, I've had seen some papers where the kids wrote whatever the answer would be that the teacher wanted. This is your answer. This is mine answer. So just knowing that I don't agree with what it is, but I'm going to put the right answer down for what you say is right, but here's what I believe is the real answer.
I think if we can at least convey whatever tactful means it is in your situation.
Right. Right.
But stand up, I don't have a right, right. to
mine. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and that just, it needs to be expressed.
Dave?
Because we're freedom to get more than we
get. Right.
There could be a significant number of kids who don't believe what the answer and what the answer he wants. How many is he allowed to fail?
Yeah.
On the other hand, the teacher thinks I have a problem.
Yep. Well, those are kind of the extreme circumstances, I think, as far as failing. A lot of that probably has to do with colleges, too. There are some professors who are fanatical about it, and they don't want to hear anything about creation. If you do, you're just out of class, as far as they're concerned. So, again, that's up to you. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to compromise your belief or values or anything like that. But again, I said probably one of the best things to do is just let your teacher know up front, you know, this may be what you're teaching. These may be the answers that you want, but that's not what I believe. And if you want to, give them evidence and proof on your side. And of course, like I said, you're probably not going to change their mind, but at least they know where you're coming from. Anything else?
Well, you and I have all certainly have our belief, and we're strongly believe that evolution is certainly false, but I've always felt this way. A Christian has a I don't care how it turns out, the Christian normally has the happiest life, I said, anybody that lives anyway, if he practices Christian principles, and of course we know we're going to be rewarded. And some of those people that disbelieve, if they just look and know that Christian people are the happiest people in the world, I think that you might see some changes in our morals.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, evolution does not, again, if you take it to the logical conclusion, evolution has no morals. Are there morals in the animal world? No. And if we're nothing more than an animal, why is it that we teach morals at all? I mean, again, if you're taking it to the logical conclusion of evolution, it's just each person for themselves. Right.
They have no proof. It's a theory.
Well, that's the
thing. They think it might happen.
Right. Yeah.
But there is no proof that that's the way it happened.
Well, to them, it's beyond theory. It's a fact to them. And they teach it as fact. They don't teach it as theory. They teach it as fact. Right. Right.
It's the way you wrote it. And that's the way you can explain it to people. Yep. It's a theory.
Right.
How do we get to that point of purpose?
What's that?
Where that's. They have to teach that. I mean, when we were in school, we knew never had anything like that. We said, we had Bible reading classes every day, every day. All that, and how did we evolve if you had?
That's what I was gonna say. Well, humanism, secularism is, it's just a gradual thing. It's just like the frog in the frying pan. You just keep turning up the heat little bit, little. And if people don't object, that's the direction it goes, so.
We let the loud voice of the minority take control.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about more about that when we get into the lesson on the flood, is how we got to this point. But we need to change it. Really do. Okay, going on with the poll, the belief in the theory of evolution by age. So those 18 to 34, almost 50% say they believe in evolution. Again, that's going back to the fact that, one, they're not being taught at home. Two, they are being taught in school the theory of evolution. And for some of them, that's all they know. They haven't heard the other side of the story. But their young kids, 50% of them, say, I believe in the theory of evolution. Half of them. Then those 35 to 54, 40%. And then 55 and older, 30%. So the older you are, the less likely you believe in the theory of evolution. Part of that is, like you were just saying, in schools, at home, you were taught the Bible, you were taught that God created everything. But our young kids are not being taught that. They're just being fed evolution, the story of evolution. And then the last one, they asked the question, can you tell me with which scientific theory Charles Darwin is associated? Now, I think most of us in here, if you heard Charles Darwin, you would know that he's associated with the theory of evolution. But here, it's kind of surprising. 55% said they knew the theory, or Charles Darwin was associated with the theory of evolution. 10% gave an incorrect response, and 34% said, I don't know. So it's kind of interesting. Again, we started off by noting that 39% or 40% of the people say, I believe in evolution. And then you've got only 55% that can say Darwin, Charles Darwin, is associated with the theory of evolution. So even with society being hammered with evolution, this tend to give us a little bit of hope. That a lot of people either aren't tuning into it, don't care for some reason, and those are the ones that needs to be reached. They haven't made up their mind. They haven't firmly said, yes, I believe in evolution. And again, this was taken 8 years ago, so things may have changed a little bit. But what are the implications of all this? As Darwin is being lauded as one of the most important scientists in history on the 200th anniversary of his birth and 150 years since his publication, Origin of the Species, it is perhaps dismaying to scientists who study and respect his work to see that less than half of Americans today say they believe in the theory of evolution, and that just 55% can actually associate Darwin with the theory of evolution. I'm sure they probably thought they had more inroads to all of this too. So it's maybe a little disheartening to them, but it's heartening to us that you still have a chance. Not everybody believes in the theory of evolution. It seems that one of the factors of who believes in the theory of evolution depends on a person's level of education. And we talked about that. We noticed that the younger the person is, the more likely they are to believe in evolution. Again, part of that has to be with the fact they're not being taught any different at home, and they're being fed evolution, evolution, evolution every place they turn, in schools, TV programs. I love to watch some of the science channels and the things that are there, and it just aggravates me when they have, to me, a great documentary or talking about a particular subject, but they have to, even if it's in the back door, throw out that theory of evolution. They just can't go and keep their mouth shut for a 1 hour show without mentioning evolution. Because they want to teach the young people too. Americans who have lower levels of formal education are significantly less likely than others to believe in Darwin's theory of evolution or to be able to identify him with that theory. And again, this is not saying that education is wrong. Education's good. But as in anything, you need to make sure that what you're being taught is the truth. And we really need to arm our young people before they go to these higher levels of education. And sadly, even those schools that we call Christian schools teach evolution. So they have to be prepared. We also notice that Americans' religious beliefs are a significant indicator of their attitudes toward Darwin's theory. As you might think, those who attend church most often are least likely to believe in evolution and most likely to say they do not believe in it at all. And like I said, hopefully, as we go through this lesson, that if you have any doubts about evolution versus creation, or if you've got questions on how to refute some of the things that are being taught, we'll give you some ammunition to fight some of that. And also, while I'm thinking about that, if you have questions that you've had in the back of your mind for a long time concerning evolution versus creation, write those questions down and give them to me. We may already have it in one of the lessons. We may not have, but we want to try to cover as much as we can the questions that people have. It's encouraging that even though evolution is being taught as fact everywhere, the majority of the people still do not believe in the theory, and that there are some good reasons why they don't. And again, going back to the Apologetics Press, the publication Reason and Revelation states that there are several glaring deficiencies of Darwin's theory that those in the scientific community choose to ignore. Now, when you hear evolution being taught on TV, in schools, or wherever it happens to be, it's always taught without a doubt, this is the way it is. But when you read the publications of the scientists who believe in the theory of evolution and are talking among themselves, there's a lot of questions that they have. They know that there are some areas that they really don't have a good footing. But yet they don't teach that or tell that to the public. So there's lots of their publications where they raise doubts. They said, you know, this is, doesn't sound right. This doesn't work out. And some of them even say, we have a big problem here. But again, you're not going to hear that in the public. Before we take a look at some of the deficiencies of Darwin's theory of evolution, there are a couple of terms that we need to define and make sure that we understand. And this is something we'll probably go back to several times as we go through these lessons. So we need to understand these two phrases, these two terms. A professor at the Department of Biological Sciences at Texas Tech University, Michael Denny, made this statement. The central underlying principle of biology is the theory of evolution, which includes both micro and macro evolution, and which extends to all species. Someone who ignores the most important theory in biology cannot expect to properly practice in a field that is now so heavily based on biology. Okay, there are a couple things I want us to note about this paragraph that he said. First off, the last part there. Someone who ignores the most important theory in biology cannot expect to properly practice in a field that is now so heavily based on biology. talked a while ago about peer pressure. Even scientists are under pressure. And if you believe in creation, or if you even have doubts about the theory of evolution, you might want to keep your mouth shut. And especially if you want grants and stuff like that from the government, if your university wants grants, money from the government, you don't want to rock the boat.
Sorry, Bob, I disagree.
Well, I'm just saying these are the people. I mean, that's, I'm not saying these guys are Christians. I'm just saying they've got a job. They may have a professorship. Oh, yeah.
It's just, we're at this problem because people in the past have not said, oh, that's normal.
Yep.
And I just think every chance that we have to face that wherever it is, it's our duty to say no.
Well, I'm not saying we as Christians. I'm just saying as a whole. You look at the scientific community as a whole, a lot of them don't believe in God. Or if they do, they don't have a very strong belief in God. And even though they may have questions about some of the things that are taught in evolution, they don't want to raise a ruckus. That's where their income comes from.
It's not just that. It's look at global
warming.
Climate change, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. They don't have any facts, but they've been preaching it for
yep.
how many years?
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, it was global cooling. The world was going to cool down to the point that we were going to just freeze to death. And then it's changed. It's going to be warming. Now they're not even saying global warming anymore. It's just climate change. So no matter what the climate does, we've got to have money to research that because, man, we're going to die.
Exactly.
Well, what does the climate do each and every day? It changes.
Now, one of the strongest points is that things adjust to the habitat, to their habitat. In other words, they make changes depending on the heat or the cold or whatever, the water or whatever. That's their strongest theory that evolution hasn't stopped. It still works.
Yep. But again, that goes back to no belief in God.
Yeah.
We as Christians believe God has control of everything. We know that the world is going to end. We know it's going to be burned up. It's not going to last forever. But these people are so concerned that we are going to destroy the world that we have to find a colony out in space someplace to preserve human life because the earth is going to be just destroyed one of these days and we got to make it someplace else. Well, folks, it isn't going to happen. God is in control. He's in control of the universe. He's in control of the climate. And that's not to say that we don't need to take care of what we can take care of. But to panic and say that we're causing global warming or global cooling and that somehow if we tax people enough, that's going to change everything, that's bogus. My personal opinion. All right. That was point number one that he made that he's saying, if you don't believe in evolution, don't you come looking for a job in our department. Don't even think about it. Don't even want to talk to you. The other thing that he says is actually true. At least what he says about it.
Bob, I just can't imagine being that desperate for a job that I would have. I mean, I need a lot of rice and beans in the front door.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, ultimately we all face judgment, and you're not going to get away by saying, it was politically expedient in order for me to get the grant.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that there's enough people out there with commitment. They're not going to do that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of people out there that are not. Yes, Robert.
If it's a theory and it's not been proved, it's not correct, they can't say anything except it's the theory of evolution. They believe that. But it's not a fact, and it's not. As long as they call it a theory, it's up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's how they eliminate, what am I trying to say, controversy or competition, is they just push you out. And if you notice in the political world today, that's the way it's done. You are shut up. That's what political correctness is all about. Shut you up. They don't want to hear from you. What about these kids on the college campuses that want free speech or safe zones? They don't want to hear the other side of the story. They don't want to hear anybody else's opinions. And that's what our world's come to. They want their free speech, but not yours. If evolution is so factual, it is so proven, if it's so ingrained, why would you be afraid to have somebody tell the other side of the story? And they are afraid because what you find out when you look at the creation side of it, it makes a lot more sense. And they realize that, and they don't want it taught.
They don't want to lose their job.
That's right. Johnny.
Interesting two words that you said there, factual, and then you said, I lost the word, if somebody was saying something. It is not factual, but my point is that we have allowed this to go on so long now that we as Christians in this congregation together tonight are having to sit here and reconfirm to each other that this is just a theory. We are all so bamboozled because this has been allowed, this lie has been allowed to go on so long and be called a theory that we're bamboozled. We don't know what to do other than, like, I agree with James. It's just when we stand up and say, this is a lie. But for us to do that collectively, I think, is the only way that we'll get much good.
Yeah. Well, our first lesson, that's the reason I started off with that, talking about Satan. God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day you do, you will surely die. What does Satan do? He didn't really come out and say, God's a liar. He didn't really go out and attack God full force. He just told Eve, he says, well, you know, God understands that the day that you eat of that, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the difference between right and wrong. You will not surely die. Very subtle. And she believed it. She believed a lie. And Adam believed a lie. And then we talked about the fact of baptism. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Yet Satan says, repent and not be baptized for the remission of sins. People believe a lie. So now when it comes to creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the way God starts his word. Introduction, boom, God created everything. Satan comes along and says, that's what God says, but this is kind of what really happened. Evolution. People are believing a lie. Yes?
Why would anybody want to believe in it?
Well, part of it goes back. You know, we talked about Hitler. We talked about Stalin. We talked about Karl Marx. People don't want to answer to God. They want the power. They want the control. Maybe not on a worldwide basis as those people did, but they want to control their own life, a lot of individual people. So to appease their mind, they say, this evolution thing sounds pretty good. Remember, that's what Karl Marx said when he already had, in 1847, already written the Communist Manifesto. And Darwin comes along in 1859 and writes this. He says, oh, good. That explains away the Bible. There is no God. Yeah. Yep.
If you believe long enough.
Yep. But you know as well as I know, it's hard to realize or rationalize in our own minds sometimes, but people are going to rationalize some way whatever it is they want to believe. They're going to make it good in their own minds so they can solve that little conscience that's going on in their head.
But you know, Bob, the only way we can battle this is as individuals, we need to be critical thinkers no matter what we're taught. Right.
Well, again, it goes back like what Don's saying. We're told our kids to respect our teachers. And so you do. But a lot of times you think, well, they're a lot smarter than I am. You know, they've got a master's degree or doctorate or whatever, and they know a whole lot more than I do. So as a kid, you think, yeah, that sounds good to me. Unless they've been taught something different at home or have heard something different, they may not challenge it. So that's why it's important that we teach our own kids.
Well, it's also why it's important for us to know what our kids are being taught.
Yeah.
A lot of people never look at the homework or anything. We've got to know what they're being taught.
Yeah. Yeah, you see some of this stuff on Facebook where somebody's kid's homework come along and, you know, being taught the Muslim religion, you know, that type of thing. If you can't teach Christianity, why would you be able to teach Muslim? If you can't even have a Bible verse on your t-shirt going to school, why would you teach the Muslim side of it? Yeah, right. Little subtle. Right.
It's factual what Muhammad said he did.
Right.
But Jesus is making
Questionable. Yeah. So that's how they introduce a lot of this stuff. And again, you keep hammering, especially little kids, over and over with this kind of stuff, it begins to put doubt in their minds. Yes, Johnny.
When we don't speak out like we have for so many years, we are somewhat responsible that our society is ingrained. That was the word you had used, I was trying to recall. You said something about they're trying to make this appear as factual and they've ingrained. Well, I don't agree that they can make it factual, but I do agree they've already ingrained. Our young people are getting it still until. I'm sorry, you probably have never heard me say the president is better than a prayer. But right now, we have a president who, before he was elected, said, if the largest number of people we have in the nation would unite, we could change things while I'm president. And that was Christians he was talking about. If Christians would unite under his presidency, this and many other things that are slaps against our God could be directly addressed right now. But we become ingrained, and the longer we wait, and the harder the battles, bloodier the battles.
Yeah, we are in a battle. And like I said, I started the lessons off that first lesson that way. We are in a battle. And one of those battles is the creation versus evolution. Where did we come from? Who do we answer to? If we were created by God, we answer to God. If we're just an accident, some kind of freak accident, we answer to nobody.
And he's still in control.
God's still in control. Yes, he is. All right, we're going to end there. You won't know what point number one was of this until we get here next week. Thank you for your time, your attention, and your comments. Appreciate it.